Welcome to another round of Two Cachanillas Talking. This is your host, Martin, with
Noe.
And like always, get right into it, try to make sense of life and see what's going on.
So what's up?
You know what? I've been seeing a lot of memes on 9gag and Reddit and about memes about the educational system, secondary educational system. I don't know if you've been seeing them too. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I saw this one. For context, we live in San Diego, so there's two state schools in the city of San Diego. There's San Diego State, a CSU school. We'll get into that later, and UC San Diego, a UC school. So, but anyways, we saw a meme, and I think it said state or San Diego State. We call it state. Your fast track to fast food service employment, something like that, something along those lines.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, why do people have the perception of San Diego State? People perceive San Diego State as
like not. They couldn't get into UC. That's the way I see it. If you couldn't get into UC, you settled for state.
You settled for state. Okay. Now, I don't want to get into the whole educational system, but basically, the California educational system was built on three levels. You have the California Community College System.
The CCCs.
Okay. You have the California State University System.
The CSUs.
Like San Diego State. And then you have University of California.
And the UCs. UCLA, UCSD, UC Berkeley,
And each of them have their own purpose. You know, the UCs are more research center. They're more specialized for sending people to grad school, medical school, law school. Really, you know, professional careers.
Well, it should be noted that I believe that all the medical schools in California, with the exception of Stanford, are all UC schools.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not
including
CSUs.
The law schools.
Obviously, they're all state schools, but they're all UC schools specifically. UC meaning University of California. CSUs meaning California State University. The difference that I see, though, is that a University of California school, like you said, is a more research-oriented school, whereas the CSU system is tailored to the liberal arts. Not to talk bad about the liberal arts, but, I mean, in today's world...
Do you think liberal arts, though?
You know what? As bad as a liberal arts degree might be, I don't think it hurts to have a liberal arts education or a background. Because, yes, you may be trained to do mechanical engineering, you know, with some emphasis and what have you, and oil drilling, right? But you need a liberal arts degree to round you off. The liberal arts degree will help you be a better person, maybe in managing a company or managing your subordinates. I mean,
isn't that what MBA programs are for, though?
But that's if you want to become high up. I mean, but what if you're starting off, like, in a company where you're doing what you went to school with, went to school for. You went to school to become a mechanical engineer. You know, all they're going to teach you is math, science, and that's it. I mean, they don't teach you anything about, you know, psychology or sociology, how people interact with others. You know, I mean, you need to take some classes to round you off to better understand the people you work with.
I think the CSUs, how I see it, they're built to get people to, you know, jobs like becoming a teacher, becoming a...
Which aren't bad. That's not a bad
job. It's not a bad job. We're not, like... You know, team teachers are not, you know, smart or anything.
Right, right.
But definitely jobs don't require as much schooling that are not really research-centered. A California State University will get you the skills to do, you know, one of those jobs. Become a teacher, become a librarian, become a, you know, maybe work in the local government in some manner.
Through a state school, right? I mean,
a state school. State. You're not gonna become a professor or a researcher or invent any, you know, anything innovative.
Well, no way. Now hold it right there. You're saying that if you're going to a CSU school, you're basically not doing anything with your life.
No, I'm saying that you'll provide a service to society. You're not gonna change society. You're gonna be the person that's actually doing the work. You'll be the worker. You'll be the worker that takes society forward. You're not going to be the thinker or the inventor.
Okay.
That's how I see it. And, you know, the community college, they're based to get you to either a UC or a CSU, but also just to provide, you know, overall, just classes to the general public
I feel like we're going a bit off topic here. Let's set in stone. You said that the CSUs are more to serve society, whereas the UCs are to alter society. Mm-hmm. So basically, in the community college, if for those who go to community college, because not all go to community college, for those who go to the community college, those are the they are the ones that kind of find their calling, so to speak. They want to be, do I want to be someone who changes, or do I want to be someone who serves? Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people find themselves to be one that serves. It's rare that you find someone who wants to change. But I feel that sometimes high school students are robbed of this opportunity. They feel that they think they know what they want to do right out of high school. They go straight into a university. And then they figure out that's not what they want to do. I mean, what do you have to say about that?
I'm a product of that. You know, I got out of high school and I went directly to a UC, not really knowing a lot of these things that we're talking here about.
How many times did you change your majors, or at least your career goal? Right?
Just twice. But most people do it four or five times.
And but, I mean, they were drastic changes, though, were they not?
They were definitely drastic changes, but that's getting off topic. The thing here is that I think that's really important is what is the educational system really doing for society? Here's my opinion, and here's my take. The educational system, it serves as a way to get rid of some people. In the difficult that right. it gets, you can get some people rid of.
So you're saying the education system is serves as a weeder.
Exactly.
It weeds out.
It weeds out the weak. Well, right. not the weak, just...
The weak. I mean, in so many words, it's the weak. I mean, you. However you're going to say it.
It's just that certain jobs, usually high-paying jobs, require certain skills.
It's the same for pre-med. Pre-med is the I mean, everything you learn in pre-med, it's going to be a review in med school. So, I mean...
Just a...
But the pre-med, proof. It weeds out, you know...
Who really wants it? Yeah. Who really wants to do that?
You can go through pre-med, you can go through med school.
I don't know. Look at the statistics, though.
How much
of the people that say that pre-med actually go to med school? It's a very, very small amount.
Well, I mean, it is really difficult to get into med
school. It is, and that's the purpose of it. If it wasn't difficult, everybody would become a doctor. The reason why doctors are such a high-paying job is because there's not a lot of them.
But, that's something that is changing. I was just having a chat with an individual the other day as... How there's not so much of a push for specialties as there is for general practitioners. I mean, I think, you know, as we move towards this whole universal healthcare system, I think more people will just become general practitioners or just be less inclined to become doctors.
That could be a possibility. You know, the Affordable Act is probably going to decrease doctor salaries in the future.
Yeah, of course. I mean, take it from me. I want to be a doctor. But I want to be a doctor for all... the wrong reasons, as people might see it. Right? For me, it's the right reasons. It's I don't want to do it for the money. Hell with the money. I want to do it for the knowledge. I want to do it for helping people. I mean, I want to go out into underserved communities and help. But, I mean, you know, not everyone thinks the same. But I think we've gone a little bit off topic now.
I think we definitely have. Just going back to the whole...
I mean, back to the UC versus the CSU.
And I think it captures a bigger idea of what education is for. You know, as a kid, you think you're going to school to learn. You're not really going to school to learn. Not how I see it. I think it's a test. It's a test of how compliant, how dedicated, and how hardworking an individual is. You prove that you've gone to 30 years of school to become a doctor, you're a pretty hardworking person, and you deserve this high-paying job. Because if you think about it, do you remember what you learned freshman of high school?
My freshman year of high school.
What did you learn? Nothing.
I can't recall.
I can't recall anything that you learned.
I took an art class.
Did you learn anything in the art class? I don't think we take anything from it. We just, we pass this test. You know, everybody gets to a different level. You get your prize, which is your salary.
What did you learn in high school?
Nothing. What am I learning now? I'm going to forget it after this finals. It's just a test to get you to the next level. Once you're in that level, you get to the next one, until you're not able, capable anymore.
So then how is it that you go to school to shape yourself to be what you want to be? You want to go to school become a mechanical engineer.
You go to school so society can decide if you are going to be a good mechanical engineer. How are employers going to know if you are a worthy individual to hire? to see if you complete your school, you complete this and that. Then they'll see, like, okay, this person completed, you know, college.
This person has a bachelor's. This person has a master's.
They're worthy of 60K, 90K, et cetera, et cetera, job. It's an interesting thing. People that have 3 years of college compared to people that have 4 years of college and they completed the bachelor's degree.
So dropouts versus graduates.
No, looking at the income they earn, you would think that somebody that finished 3 years of school, if they really learn something, they're going to generate a pretty good income, right?
Right.
Let's take case A. Case A.
But wait, you're saying that if dropouts.
If assuming that a college actually teaches you a skill that you can apply to the workforce. Assuming that the whole notion of human capital, you're going to school to learn.
Okay.
Somebody that goes for 3 years, two semesters, and finish all the classes but one. Okay. This person finished everything except one class that prevented him from getting his little paper.
Okay.
That person is only going to see about 10% of a return on his investment on education. He's not going to have a 60K job.
Because he doesn't have
the little class.
Yeah.
Do you think that last class really makes such a huge difference that, oh, I'm going to pay you now 60K
because
you
took the little class? I mean, it's the individual's fault. He or she took all the time to take all these classes, and all that matters is one class. You cannot tell me that this one class is barring this person from getting a degree. Okay,
a semester I would understand
with. A class, if you were really motivated, you'd find a way to take this one class.
So you're saying that if you see someone that is missing one class, you're automatically assume that's an unmotivated person.
Yes.
And that's why you're not going to hire them, even though they might know.
What's stopping them?
You can say 99 as much as that person that actually finished.
I just don't see.
It's all about finishing, right? It's not about what you know.
I mean,
it's about finishing.
You finish what you start.
That matters more than what you actually know.
You should. It tells you a lot. It says a lot about
a
character.
It tells a lot, okay.
I mean, this person is dedicated. This person went all the way through it. Maybe this person in question went 3 years, two semesters, and missing one class to graduate had a serious situation arise, you know, and that's why he couldn't finish that one class. But, I mean, situations last only so long. He could have done something about it. I'm just saying that if you were motivated, you would have found a way.
Possibly. But then, you know, if that individual is smart enough, wouldn't you be able to see, you know, a big difference between someone?
But I mean, if this individual is smart enough, don't you think he'd be smart enough to finish that one class?
No, but we should see more of a linear increase in salary. 1 year of schooling should give me 10% more salary. 2 years should give me 20% more.
Well, yeah. But no.
Do you think that relationship should be like that?
I think the relationship should be how motivated someone is. It's getting a degree, going to school, being committed.
So it should be passing those goals, getting that certificate.
Yeah.
If you get the certificate, then you get the bonus of a higher salary.
I mean,
you don't get the
stuck
salary.
It through. I mean, it's hard as it is right now. It's hard to be in school, to get classes with budget
crisis.
It is hard.
It has to be hard, though.
It's like you said, it weeds out the weak.
It weeds out the weak. But personally, I feel school is not for learning. It's about, like I say, it removes the
weak. But
school
is all about learning. Maybe it's not educational, but it's experiential and empirical. I mean, think about it. I'm sure you learned a lot of things at UC that you didn't learn in high school.
I don't know.
And I'm sure you learned a lot of things in high school that you didn't learn in middle school and so forth. I mean,
there's this really interesting research that shows that based on a couple of factors, you can usually determine someone that will graduate with a degree. So it's predetermined if you'll graduate with a degree depending on the person you were before you actually enter college.
Is this like a BuzzFeed quiz or something?
No, this is like a heavy statistical model that shows that if you have this factors in your line, you're going to graduate a degree with 95% accuracy. So basically, school doesn't change you. The person who you are before you enter, it's who determines if you're actually going to graduate or not.
Well, okay, I concur that. I mean, I can agree with the premise that people don't change.
People do not change.
People will
you
not change.
Who you are. You're hardworking or you're not.
But I do believe that people can make exceptions from time to time. Put it this way.
So you're talking about the people that are kind of in between.
Okay, let me just, I mean, to put into perspective what I'm saying, just to see what I'm saying is, I don't go to church. I believe in God, but I don't go to church. Right?
We're going to talk about religion now.
No. I'm trying to put it into perspective here.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying, that I will not change. I will not go to church. Right? Because I do not believe in the institution of church as what they preach, what they believe, what they say God is. But that's neither here nor there. But if I were to find myself a nice Christian woman, and that even though somehow we made it work, you know, between our beliefs, and we have a family, I will still go to church with her. Because it would be, I mean, I would hate to be by myself Sunday morning, by, you know, at home. I would go to church with her. Though I may not believe what they're saying, it's the fact that I am there, I am making an exception, I am meeting her halfways. I am not changing myself. Do you see where I'm coming from? Do you see through my example what I'm trying to say?
What I'm taking from it is that you'll do things that you don't want to do just because the woman wants to do it.
I mean, okay. Well.
That's what I'm taking on from here, but I think we should move on.
Well, I mean.
Before we start talking about religion. Let's talk about another stereotype.
Let's just finish off on the CSUs and UC systems.
Another stereotype. We
have a break coming up, so let's just finish up the UCs and CSUs.
Well, let's just talk a little bit more about the other stereotypes. Why not?
Wait. Before we go on there.
We criticize San Diego State. Let's criticize UCs.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's many stereotypes out there.
What is that population in California?
I think 30 million?
How many of that population are Hispanics? About 50%.
Let's say 50%.
50%.
I'd say 70, but I think it's like 60.
It's over 50 for sure.
Oh, for sure.
So we go to...
Let me look that up while you're talking.
Imagine that we go to a trip to go see UC Berkeley.
UC Berkeley, Northern California.
We're in UC Berkeley. We expect around 60% of the population in the university to be Hispanic. Because that's the population outside. Now, what do we see? We see 70% Asian population. 70%.
This is true for most of the UCs.
Most of the UCs.
For 90% of the UCs.
Tell me why. What's your opinion? Why would that happen?
I think that the UCs are, like you said earlier, are research oriented. They're really science, math, and I was going to say science again. But yeah, science and math oriented. And I mean, as
you feel Hispanic,
I hate to concede it, but I mean, people who excel in those areas are predominantly Asian. I'm not saying why Hispanics can't do it, but I mean, I don't know why. Why do you think it is?
You know, I think just the Hispanic culture, and you know, this is speaking from a Mexican, we are not thought to be, you know, those individuals to work and do not respond to anyone else. You know, we are kind of, we have our own, we like freedom. We like to have a voice. We don't just sit down, listen to whatever everyone else tells us, and just work. We have a vision. I think we have a vision, and other people lack a vision. Maybe that makes it more difficult to be a successful mathematician that has to be 80 hours doing homework.
I think it's upbringing.
Upbringing?
I mean, think about it. Did your parents ever push you to do your math homework? My parents pushed me to do my homework, but they never pushed me to do my math homework, and I never excelled in math. In high school, I took two years of Algebra 1 and 2 years of Geometry, and don't ask me how I passed.
What about science?
Science, I made it all the way to chemistry. But, I mean, what I'm saying is that, I'm not blaming my parents so much as that it's just, math is just something
you
that...
think a Hispanic scientist in chemistry is a well-respected... in the community. I'll put it this way. In Mexican movies, do you see a lot of scientists?
No.
What do you see? Who are the rich or affluent society in the movies of Mexican? What are they?
Business people.
Business owners.
Or politicians.
Or politicians. So what do the Hispanic communities aspire to be?
Business. Narcotraficantes.
being a politician.
All right.
That's what they aspire to.
I guess, we were trying to go with this topic. We were trying to take it towards a more relaxed.
We were talking about
stereotypes because we did talk about a stereotype about San Diego State, how it's the fast track to fast food employment. But I mean, I saw a nice one for UC Merced. Actually, you sent it to me.
Yeah.
It was a UC Merced. It's actually the new. I mean, poor UC Merced. I mean, I applied to the school. I got in, but I mean, even I still hold some. You know, I mean, I won't even. Oh, not grudges, but I mean, I still have my reservations about that school. It said, it was the most interesting man meme. You know, I don't always drink beer, but when I do, it's Dos Equis. That one.
Yeah.
Right. It said, I don't always go to UC Merced, but when I do, I get stabbed. And I mean, and it connects or it plays to the notion that Merced, the city of Merced, California, is really, really ghetto. Really, I mean, it's just ghetto. I mean, I go to Merced. I mean, obviously, you and I both have family over there, and I, honest to God, feel much safer in Tijuana or in Mexicali.
What is it about it, though?
It's
a quiet community.
It is, but I think
what's wrong with Merced?
It's the whole Chicano. It started back with the whole Chicano thing, back with Cesar Chavez and
okay, so
and
you're Delano. Saying Chicanos are dangerous?
They're the way they think. It's the Pachuco. It's just the way I see it. But
you know what? We'll stop it here. We have to move on to the next topic.
We'll take a short break.
We'll come back and go to a little.
We'll continue on with Tucachanías Talk.
Tucachanías. Talking. We're still deciding on the title.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. Again, this is Martin, along with
Noe.
So
what will we be talking about next? It's Radio Patrulla moment.
It's Radio Patrulla moment. So you know, every week we try to go on to the Radio Patrulla site. For those of you who aren't familiar with Radio Patrulla, it's the Tumblr for the local police department of Mexicali, which we come from.
Let's talk a little bit about Mexicali. What's an interesting fact about Mexicali?
Interesting fact about Mexicali is that you can find all types of food, and it's cooked way better than their origins, i.e. being Chinese food.
What's my interesting fact about Mexicali?
What's your interesting fact about Mexicali?
That if you walk with plastic sandals, the sandals will melt onto the pavement.
Yeah, but only during the month of May and August. November. Yeah, it gets pretty hot in November.
May to November, I think.
That's 6 months.
May to six November. Months. Okay.
Yeah, 6 months out of the month. 6 months out of the year, your plastic chunkers will melt to the cement.
To the pavement. That's interesting. Next week we'll give another hint about our city.
The city that we come from. I know there's going to be some people out there who know us and will say that we're not really from there. But to all you haters out there, I don't care. So we're going to talk about Radio Patrulla moment. Radio Patrulla is the local police department Tumblr where they just report crime and sometimes good deeds. But, you know, we try to find the most awkward or rare or, weird ones.
The better represent the city of Mexicali.
Yes.
There's reports from the
police department.
The police department.
So, here we go. We found this one. It was posted about two days ago. It was about, when was that, like, the end of April. And it says, Busca su tracker negra. At first, I mean, like, wait, what? What's going
Keep
on here?
Keep in mind, this is news about police.
And it says, Se busca tracker negra modelo 2000, placas bla bla bla, la cual robaron ayer 30 de abril en el hospital materno infantil. Okay, first of all, I mean, there's some... somebody stole a black Geo tracker from a maternity hospital. It just blows my mind that someone, first of all, would steal a car. Okay, this is just how objective Mexicali is. They steal a car
from a hospital.
From a hospital. Not only a hospital, but this hospital is just for maternities. I mean, it's just to give birth. That's it. That's
so
all
there was literally someone outside the hospital waiting. Let me see, what truck can I steal?
I mean, this car, look at this car. I mean, this is it's a 2000 Geo Tracker. It's a four-door. I mean, it looks like a PCS. Isn't una tracker negra. And it goes on to say, it says, hizo un llamado al 066 911, donde dijeron que what does that say?
Acudiría una patrulla, pero esperó alrededor de hora y media. Y nunca llegó la patrulla.
Exactly. So, poor guy. The guy calls for a police officer to come help him. He waits for an hour and a half, and the police never shows up.
What did he have to do? Porque su llamada fue ignorada. Fue al Ministerio Público a levantar el reporte de este robo. ¿Y qué es lo que hacen ellos? They post it on their website like if they're looking for a dog.
Exactly. This is exactly what happens. They go to the comandante, the police department.
That's innovative. You gotta give them that.
And yeah, they're like, innovative. Hey, this car is stolen. My car is stolen. They stole my wife and my child's car.
And the policía is like, okay.
So instead of putting like you hear on TV, an APB, all posted bulletins where they search for individuals, they go onto their Tumblr accounts and they put a picture of a black Geo Tracker. But here's the funny part. I mean, this is obviously not the car in question that was stolen. I mean, look at the license plates. They look like European license plates. I mean,
maybe you just went over off of Google Image.
It looks like it's a picture. I bet you that if we do a Google Image search of a Geo Tracker Negra 2000, we'll find it, right? But I mean, it's funny that they report this as if it was a lost dog, a lost animal.
Y una cosa muy importante que notar, you know, a really important thing to note is that the way to differentiate this tracker negra from all the others is that they quote, la llanta de refacción no lleva forro y tiene una especie de protectores arriba de los vidrios de las puertas laterales. Micas.
So in other words, in the windows, it's got I don't know what they're called, but I mean, if you see cars rolling around, they've got this extra piece of plastic on the door frame around the window, the top part of the window, and when you open your windows, it reduces it kind of pushes the air out of the way so that it doesn't sound, you know, like, it's not so loud inside the automobile. So that, and what was missing? The hubcaps?
The cover for the back wheel.
Oh, the cover for the back wheel. That's
so
right.
The extra wheel doesn't have a cover.
So, I mean, this is how they're basically saying, like, you know what? I lost my black shepherd. He's got a white tail, and he's got some clipped ears, and he responds to the name Tracker. I mean, this is basically what they're saying.
That's how they find cars in Mexicali. That's as far as the Mexicali police goes to find your car.
Exactly. And the sad part is that this car is long gone. This car is probably crossing the border with drugs full of it. I mean, full. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. And you know what? It gets even better. You guys should know about Tumblr. I mean, Tumblr, it's just social networking. So, you can comment on these posts.
So we have
a comment. The user is called 45G.
Chingón de cerveza.
Exactly.
And what does he say?
Ayuden, por favor. Esto es en Mexicali. First of all, obviously it's in Mexicali because it's Radio Patrulla.
He's asking for us to help him. So, if anyone out there has seen a Tracker Negra with a missing cover for the back wheel or the extra wheel,
placas BFR4656.
Por favor, de contactar a
686-556-2035.
Y eso es our Radio Patrulla moment for today.
Yeah, Radio Patrulla for the moment today. I mean, I can never get enough of the Radio Patrulla moment. There's so many things.
There's so many things we have to get the most interesting story for the day, and you guys just listen to that story. It's really just breathtaking.
It is breathtaking.
That's
breathtaking. Well, I gotta say that...
Honestly, I like better than the New York Times.
Oh, wow. Way better than the New York Times. I'm not sure it quite competes with the Imperial Valley Press, which is the newspaper across the border from Mexicali, but you know what? Something different. Well, that does it for us tonight here.
What about Obama Minute? Talking. We got Minute.
Oh, my God. No. You totally... Thank you. Obama I totally minute. Forgot. Not so much an Obama Minute
Let's
tonight.
Let's talk about 60 words. What about 60 words on Obama Minute?
60 words is going to have to wait for another time, don't you think?
If you guys want to listen about 60 words and about how Obama basically dictates our life, listen to our new
All right, you know
next
what?
Podcast. And you'll realize...
I was bored.